Another edition of Pittsburgh Pop with me, Tim Benz, and Rob Owen. Read Rob Weekly, TV talk, TV Q&A here at Trib Live. Check me out daily, Breakfast with Benz, as we chug along towards the start of Steelers season. They had a perfect preseason. Everybody's excited about that. We're also chugging along towards the end of Pirates season and moving forward to a new Penguin season, which is how we're going to launch off Pittsburgh Pop today, because sports and television very much front of the pop culture conversation today. What with the news surrounding AT&T Sportsnet? Rob wrote about it, posted it online at Trib Live this morning, right before I got on and did Madden Benz Unfiltered with Mark Madden. So we're still kind of surfing through all the details. There are a lot more details to comb through. But Rob, why don't you give us the nuts and bolts? At least give us the skeleton of what we know so far surrounding what AT&T Sportsnet is going to become and what that means for watching the Penguins and the Pirates on TV in Pittsburgh.
Sure. So since February, we've sort of been on a death watch for AT&T Sportsnet because its owner, Warner Brothers Discovery, announced it was exiting the regional sports business. And so we've speculated on some different things that might happen. And it appears that what is going to happen is the most likely outcome, which is that Fenway Sports Group, which owns the Penguins, is also going to be buying AT&T Sportsnet from Warner Brothers Discovery and operating the channel now. So that means the Penguins definitely will have a home. Presumably, they will be keeping the cable channel. What we don't know is, will they rename the channel? I would think that they would. Will they launch a direct-to-consumer streaming service as Fenway did with the Red Sox out of the New England Sports Network, which they also now own? I would think that that would likely happen. Then there's the question of the Pirates and what becomes of their television rights. And so Sports Business Journal, which first reported the sale this morning, they said that the Pirates have two options. They could put in with the Penguins and, continue on what is currently called AT&T Sportsnet, or they could kick it to the MLB, and then MLB would be responsible for finding cable satellite carriage or direct-to-consumer or whatever direction they decide to go in. And then instead of getting all of the rights money, the Pirates would get, I think, 80% of the rights money is what Sports Business Journal suggested. And they feel the other reporting also suggested they don't feel like they're in a hurry because the Pirates are covered for the remainder of the current season. So they may not even make a decision on what direction they go in until close to the start of the 2024 MLB season.
So here's one thing I wonder, and, we've discussed this, we've theorized about this in various forms, whether it be through sports or whether it be through just regular entertainment. The notion that have we already peaked? Have we already supersaturated the streaming market? And we're going to come full circle and there's going to be basically cable TV again, because people are going to get tired of diversifying everything that they're spending and having just as much money going out of pocket for everything they want to watch on streaming. And we'll all come back to being a version of cable TV, if not exactly the same thing as cable TV is now. Do you think we're going to get there?
I mean, I've been saying for 10 years that was eventually what was going to happen, is that even if you're not buying a bundle, which I think eventually you will be, but you're still going to be paying the same amount or more out of pocket to get all of these different streaming services as you were paying for your cable bill. So I think that is entirely likely, and we're already sort of starting to see that, especially as streaming services hike and hike and hike their rates. The one thing that the streaming universe has so far as a diversifier that cable didn't have was that you can sort of do it a la carte. You can pick and choose. So maybe you want Disney Plus, but you don't want HBO Max. So you get one and not the other. Whereas with cable, you kind of had to get everything. So that is a benefit at this point. Now, as companies start bundling stuff, that may become less of a financially viable option. But for now, at least, that is a difference between the traditional cable bundle and streaming services.
What are the candidates for MLB to put the Pirates on if they do go that route?
I mean, I have no idea. That's a great question. I mean, to me, it seems like either the Pirates do the deal with Fenway, AT&T Sportsnet themselves, or MLB does the deal for them. I mean, I don't really know what other options.
If MLB does the deal for them, do they put it on PNT? Do they put it on KDKA Plus as it's being rebranded now?
I mean, I suppose that's possible, but I don't think that either of those stations has the money that MLB or the Pirates want. I mean, maybe I'm wrong, but I mean, when you look at what PCW's schedule is, you know, it's 48 hours reruns in prime time. That is cheap. That is not sports rights money. So I don't get the sense that they are interested in spending that kind of money. And PNT, owned by Sinclair, they have their own challenges with regional sports networks. So I don't think they have the money either. So I suspect ultimately the Pirates will cut a deal with Fenway and they'll end up on that channel where they've been for a long time already. That just seems like the most likely outcome, but who knows?
Did KDKA go with KDKA Plus because CNN Plus was such a gigantic success? Is like, that's the first thing I thought of when I saw that. Was what happened with CNN Plus? Was this also like an episode of Succession too?
Yes. Succession did something like this as well with their proposal of a streaming service. Or actually, it was a website, a platform. You're right, though. No, I think my understanding is that there are other call letter pluses that CBS owns in other markets, and that this was not a KDKA decision. This was a corporate CBS decision that was foisted on KDKA. So I don't think we can blame or credit the folks at KDKA with that one. I think that was a corporate choice.
Yeah, I pretty much assume everything from all three of the stations are corporate choices these days. All right. Let me get to a couple other things, Rob, here. There's a lot to talk about. One thing I wanted to talk about is my new documentary that I've sunk my teeth into is BS High. It's the tale of Bishop Sycamore. Are you familiar with the Bishop Sycamore story?
Refresh me. I'm not sure I am.
So Bishop Sycamore was the fake high school that somehow got its football team on ESPN. Do you remember that?
Yes.
So somebody did a documentary about it, and I'm only halfway through it, and I'm completely enthralled already about how this guy managed to keep lying to everybody as effectively as he did. It was amazing. I haven't yet gotten to the point. And the one thing that's funny about it is, and I can't wait to get to this point, the one thing that's really funny about it is this is I guess it's HBO Max, but I don't know how much of this is going to be because there is ESPN licensed footage that is on this, but to a certain degree, it's going to be ESPN kind of pointing a finger at ESPN for getting duped by this in the long run. You know what I mean?
Well, except who's carrying the film?
Max.
Okay, so that's different company. That's HBO. That's Warner Brothers Discovery.
But it is something, though, like I've already seen some ESPN footage on it. So ESPN at least licensed Max to do it, or whoever's producing it, to do this, knowing that it would go to Max in the long run. All right, it's definitely worth watching. I would say check it out. I'm also watching Winning Time, Rob. I didn't see the most recent episode last night, but I'm caught up before last night. And yes, it is completely cartoonish. Everybody is a two-dimensional character. I can understand why everybody who is portrayed in this thing doesn't like it, because there's no one who looks real and there's no one besides. Like, this is the archetype stereotype. We are painting everybody in this box to move the story along, kind of thing. Yeah. But I will give credit to the guy who, and I don't even know his name off the top of my head, the guy who plays Larry Bird. Mm-hmm. He has a lot of Larry Bird mannerisms on the court down.
Oh, that's good.
Give him that. He's got like the high release for Larry Bird's three.
Right.
He does the one-legged fallback thing in the paint. He does the slow sort of fake bounce pass, pull it back, shoot it thing that Larry Bird had in his back pocket. He's got the Bird basketballisms down, which, you know, for the sports fan in me, for as much as I think the show has become a cartoon, that stuff I still like. That stuff is still appealing.
Right.
So for folks who are watching or fans of basketball in the 80s, and I think that's who you're appealing to at this point with the show, at least you will enjoy that. All right, so what else are we talking about today, Rob? Ahsoka, you want to get to that? I haven't been able to watch that one yet, but we said we'd talk about it a little bit here. I'll get caught up. Tell folks what they can expect, though, based on what you've seen so far.
Yeah, so I've seen the first two episodes of Ahsoka. I was not as positive on it as a lot of the reviews have been. I was a little surprised at the reviews because I found the first hour interminably slow. A lot of time spent watching Ahsoka put a puzzle together, which, you know, it's fun to do a puzzle, but watching other people do a puzzle, not so much fun to me. I did think it was better in the second episode. I like that it's this triumvirate of female heroes. That is something new and different for Star Wars. That is the focus of the show. I find Ahsoka to be a little bit of a cold and aloof character, but I really like Hera Sinulba, I think. I'm probably saying her name wrong. She's the general. She's a Twi'lek green skin, played by Mary Elizabeth Winstead. I like her character quite a bit. And I also like Sabine Wren. And all of these characters are from the animated Star Wars Rebels series, which was created by Matt Lebanon's Dave Filoni. He's also behind Ahsoka. So in many ways, this is just another season of Rebels, but in live action instead of animation as the previous seasons were. Episode two, you get into a little bit of Imperial politics, similar to Andor, but not as nuanced as Andor was. So I'm sticking with it. I didn't feel like it put its best foot forward, but it improved in the second episode. And there's enough appeal that I'll keep watching this one.
This is like there's a lot of action to it.
I mean, there is, but a lot of it is like, why is I think it's in the first episode. There is a speeder bike chase that is not much of a chase on a deserted highway. And it went on and on and on. And I just kept thinking, why? But then there is a really good lightsaber battle in episode two. So, I think it's getting better. And I just have to remind myself, Andor also started very slowly and then ultimately became my favorite Star Wars streaming series.
What about Star Trek Strange New Worlds airing on CBS?
Yeah, so Strange New Worlds is the Paramount Plus show, and I've talked before about how I think it's the best current ongoing Trek series that we have. It very much harkens back to the original series. It's more episodic. There's a beginning, middle, and end to the story each episode. There are some character arcs over the season, but it's more self-contained each week than certainly Discovery was. And I think the crew is really great. And so what is happening on Star Trek Day, which is September 8th, is the first two episodes of season one of Strange New Worlds, which normally is only on Paramount Plus. Those first two episodes will play on CBS starting at 8 p.m. on September 8th. So if you don't subscribe to Paramount Plus, but you're curious about this series with Captain Pike as the lead, Spock is the science officer, and Rebecca Romijn is number one, the first officer. I think it's worth checking out just to see what you're missing, and then maybe you'll want to subscribe to Paramount Plus and see more of it.
Last two things. One of them is, again, sports-related. Damar Hamlin, the former Pitt Panther, now Buffalo Bills player, who, of course, went into cardiac arrest on the field during a Monday night game last year against the Bengals, has since made a full recovery and is back playing for Buffalo again. He's going to be on Secret Celebrity Renovation. He's a Pittsburgh Central Catholic graduate from McKees Rocks. Let's talk about that. Let's talk about the Rustin trailer, too.
Yeah, so Secret Celebrity Renovation, I wrote about this last week. It's the Damar Hamlin episode. He gifts his grandmother, Portia, with a pretty much entire home renovation. This is the show that, you know, celebrities get the chance to gift someone in their lives with the renovation. Last season, the show was in Pittsburgh twice for Billy Gardell and Aaron Donald, and now they're back again. So I talked to Rob Mariano, who's the carpenter on the show, also married to Amber Burkitch of Survivor, who's from Beaver County, about Damar's episode. And I've seen the episode. It's very sweet. It's definitely feel-good television. Damar comes off as a nice kid, and his grandma is clearly very grateful and appreciative of all the effort that they put into giving her home this amazing gutting and rehabilitation. So it's a nice hour of television at 8 o'clock Friday on CBS. And then lastly, Rustin, that is the filmed in Pittsburgh Netflix movie. The trailer came out this morning. Finally, it debuts on Netflix November 17th. It will be in some theaters prior to that. We don't know yet if that will include theaters in Pittsburgh. I imagine it will, because that was how they did it with Ma Rainey's Black Bottom, also filmed in Pittsburgh. The Rustin trailer is, It makes me very interested in the movie. I have to admit, I don't know a whole lot about Bayard Rustin. He is the gay civil rights activist who really helped organize Martin Luther King Jr.'s 1968 march on Washington. I think today is the 60th anniversary of that march. The march itself was actually filmed in D.C., but the rest of the movie was filmed in Pittsburgh. So check that trailer out. We'll have a link to it with the written up version of this story, and I'm sure I'll have more on that once we get into November and closer to when that film releases on Netflix.
What's going on in TV talk and TV Q&A?
TV talk, we've got, you mentioned Winning Time earlier, so there's a local woman from Uniontown who plays Diane Cannon in Celebrity Row on Winning Time. And so I've got a little thing with her later this week, because she actually gets a guest star credit in this coming Sunday's episode of Winning Time. She's just sort of been
Nicholson too?
Well, she sits next to the fake Jack Nicholson. Okay, yes, good. She's all the right. Fake Diane Cannon seated next to the fake Jack Nicholson. Yeah. So she's basically been a glorified extra in the past, but she actually gets a guest credit, and I think she kisses Jerry Buss and whoever Adrian Brody is playing in the September 3rd episode. Yeah. Then TV Q&A, why does PXI constantly rotate their morning weather people? Why, oh, why would they do that, Tim? How dare they?
I don't know anymore. I'm not there anymore. I can't provide any insider information. I've been excommunicated. So
I know it's the deal the Trib did with WTAE.
No, right, exactly.
But I will give the answer that I always give. And I will just tell people, sing it like the Go-Go's. V-A-C-A-T-I-O-N. Da-da-da-da. TV people get vacation too.
That's right. Especially weather people when it's a season when it doesn't snow. So that's
right.
Got to come into play. All right, Rob, we'll do it again next week, and we will post as scheduled on Labor Day, okay?
That sounds great. Thanks, Tim.
All right, Rob Owen, Tim Benz, every Monday here at Trib Live. Make sure you check us out for Pittsburgh Pop.